Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we've got Captain Brett Bartlett from the Tampa Police Department, 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience. He's also the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at ExemplarDefense.com. So I got carried away. So sorry about that. Also, we've got Lieutenant Randy Sutton. And Randy, where are you not worked at? No, he's got 34 years experience between Las Vegas Metro and the other agency you're at before that. All right. Also the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. So thanks so much for being on the show, Randy. Appreciate having you. And guys, you know, we've got a great lineup here. Randy's got some breaking news that we're going to discuss in a second. Let me go into what the appetite and what we're going to be talking about today. We've got police officers across the U.S. are facing a crisis as ambush shootings rise. It just happened out of nowhere, they say. And we're going to talk about that. But some interesting stats. And, the neat thing or the interesting thing is who's giving the news on this. CBS is heavily involved in this. Also, we have a Florida school district. They're testing an armed drone or armed drones, plural. They're designed to stop shooters within seconds, and that's going to come in handy because, you know, Randy's got some breaking news story. And let's go in and just stop there. We're talking about Florida school districts testing armed drones to stop active shooters. And Randy, you've got some interesting news up to date. I mean, live news going on right now, right? What's going on in Minneapolis?
Another tragic set of circumstances. Apparently, a active shooter. An active shooting just took place at a first day of school at a Catholic school and church. Apparently they're attached to one another. An individual dressed all in black with a rifle reportedly shot numerous magazines full of rounds at the church. And the first reports are about 20 children have been shot. And they don't know. There are some fatalities. They don't know the extent. The shooter is down. This is the information that we're getting right now, that this active shooting took place. They don't know yet what if there was ideology involved here, what the motive was. But it's literally just happened. So very, very fresh. Once again, children victimized by a gunman.
So that's Minneapolis and Bob Kroll's neck of the woods. And I'm curious about the police response there. I believe they have about 800 active law enforcement officers there in Minneapolis. And just our hearts and prayers have to go out with the people involved right now. And this is fluid. I mean, there's going to be new information coming out. Randy, I know is booked already. I think you're going to be on Fox talking about this shortly. So we appreciate you being on the show this morning, Brett. Randy and Brett, actually. And as we get more information, if either one of you two get anything during the show, it's probably easier for you to follow the feed than me having to do all this live stuff for Leo Roundtable. But feel free to pipe in with any updates.
Fox News says two dead, 14 and 17 others injured.
Crap. All right. Well, we'll keep you guys informed, but thanks, listeners, streamers, everybody watching the show. I was in the process of kind of going through the list of what we're going to be talking about. And I just mentioned, this armed drone designed to stop school shooters within seconds. So we'll be coming back to that. That'll be our second story. We have a New Jersey appeals court rules that state promotion exam was altered unfairly after candidates took it. They were trying to alter the test so that more minorities would get in, Hispanics and Blacks. Wait till you hear what they did. And then we got San Jose police. They fatally shoot a father who stabbed and killed his 9-year-old son. So that's an interesting one too. And let me go on here. Our next one here that we've got. We've got a story with that was the first story with a video component. We've also got Bridgeport officer justified in shooting a guy who ran at police with knives, plural. Illinois man charged after allegedly causing his girlfriend's miscarriage with pills. We covered a story like that recently. And this guy admitted everything to the cops. Orange County deputies fatally shoot a guy armed with a knife. We got a lot of knife stuff going on. And then we've got Oklahoma City police. There's footage showing what led up to a deadly shooting of a rape suspect. And then appeals court blocks New Mexico's 7-day waiting period for gun purchases, saying that it violates the Second Amendment. So, Brett, you might be all over that if we have time to get to that. So, guys, without wasting any more time, let's go ahead and jump into it. CBSNews.com. And normally, you know, it'll be like a Newsmax or like a Fox News, but this is CBS. Police officers across the U.S. face a crisis as ambush shootings rise. And the quote is, it just happened out of nowhere. So let's see what this article is saying. They're saying shootings against police have actually jumped 60, that's 60% since 2018, according to data tracked by the Fraternal Order of Police, the FOP, which is probably the largest police union in the country. And the percentage of ambush-style attacks is steadily growing as well. At least 56 law enforcement officers have been shot in 45 ambush-style attacks in 2025 through July the 31st. So that's just the first half of this year. More than 28% of total officers shot ambush attacks. And that's according to data collected from the organization, FOP, and analyzed by the CBS News. Now, 5 years earlier, just over 20% of police officers shot in the line of duty were struck in ambush-style attacks. So we've gone from 20% to 28%. And now the FOP, the national president, Patrick Yosi, wrote a letter to Congress back in March advocating for the Protect and Serve Act. It would create a new federal law against knowingly assaulting law enforcement. He said the deliberate attacks are contributing to a crisis in recruiting the next generation of officers and holding on to those who are currently serving. And in July, after a week of violence in which 10 officers were shot, three fatally, Yost wrote, how many more officers must die before Congress acts? Our men and women in law enforcement deserve better. So commentary on that. And I wasn't even aware of the new stats. Randy Sutton.
Yeah, I was fully aware of the new stats. I've been following this. Of course, you know, in my capacity as the founder of the Wounded Blue, literally, we deal with the injuries of officers every single day. This latest attack on the officers in the small community in Utah, I was literally woken up in the middle of the night about what took place there. And this is a 16 officer police department. The population of the town is like 11,000. Small community, everybody knows one another. The individual had previous domestic violence issues, and literally when the first officer got there, he shot him dead in the street. And as the second officer arrived, he shot that officer as well. A deputy from the county got hit by shrapnel, as did his dog was shot. They're going to be okay. But it shows you that it doesn't matter whether you're in the biggest city or you're in the smallest town, that the threat to law enforcement is increasing every single day. There is a police officer shot in America almost every day now. We don't even hear about it. It's become so commonplace that we don't even hear this news. It's not a national story, and it should be. This is what law enforcement are dealing with. Even as we see a diminishment of the numbers of police officers, people not wanting to be cops, this is all part of the war on the police. And it's existed now for a number of years. And we're a long way off from trying to solve this issue. And it's not being done on a national level.
Well, Captain Bartlett.
You know, it's almost like it's like a mental health COVID problem. There's something going around. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. Maybe there's just an uptick in mental illness, but some of those people are just plain nuts. You know, back when we were cops, guys, you know, the shootout was with the armed robbery suspect who was knocking over the bank or whatever. That's why. But now the police officers are rolling up to just plain old stuff. And the people shooting them and killing them, attacking them are not necessarily what we would consider the bad guy. They're just something going on in their head. And we're going to see that in one of the videos today about a guy stabbing his son to death. Mm. So I don't know what it is, but I think officers everywhere have to be very mindful. They need to keep their eyes open. And if they're going to be parking somewhere, make sure it's in a more public area. Make sure there's another officer with them. They just need to keep their eyes open because something has changed. And I don't know what it is, but it's an uptick in mental illness. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's just more crazy people. Maybe it's the vitriol coming from the left or the right. And I just don't know. But police officers really need to pay attention.
There was this an incredible new article that I saw just literally a couple of days ago, written by a psychologist about this very topic, and he called it nihilistic violence, and how this is something new with terrorism, you understand what the ideology is. With a criminal, you understand why, but nihilistic violence is what we're seeing now, where you don't understand it. It's not anything that we have looked at before. You don't know what the cause is, and yet this exceptional violence is kicking off across America. So you hit it on the head, Brett, that it's about these weird mental issues, and this is the insanity.
Thanks, guys. Perfect timing, Randy. It's time for our first commercial break. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. Title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And then when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And, you know, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, they even have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. And you can hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com, and they'll be your new best friends. And, Brett, I don't know if you knew this. I just ordered a new pair of boots, Danner boots, waterproof. From Gauls.com, and I got it quick, and they're great boots. I didn't even have to pay full price. They had a sale going, and you know, they're doing free shipping sales all the time as well. So check them out, guys, Gauls.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianttechnologiesCompliantTechnologies.com. And of course, they are our satellite sponsor. And you know, guys, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're not done. They continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. When safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. And you can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to Complianttechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, Complianttechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Complianttechnologies.com/MyTech. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And we just got done talking about some updated stats involving law enforcement officers and ambush attacks and stuff. Any more commentary on this, guys, before we move on? Captain Bartlett?
You know, I had a couple years ago, I was showing a video to one of my concealed carry classes where a guy jumps out of a car, he's got a knife in his hand. The officer's already pulled him over. She knows who she's looking for. He's coming at her with a knife. She's yelling, drop the knife, drop the knife. And he's yelling, drop the knife, drop the knife. So obviously, there's something wrong. The officer finally shot this person, and one of the students in my class said, why do you think he did that? I said, I think he was in a mental health crisis. And the student said, if he was in a mental health crisis, why did the officer shoot him? Now, my answer, and it took a second not for me to scream loudly, my answer was this, and to all of you, you shoot the behavior, not the reason for the behavior. And that seemed to make sense with them. And not a knife held by the same person is no less dangerous than a knife held by a mental ill person. But our job is not to diagnose the problem. Our problem is to deal with the behavior. And that seemed to go over pretty well.
That's a very good comment. Well said.
It is. I part of me wants to ask you if that student got any smarter in the class, but
no.
But no. Okay. Now, speaking of knives, Brett, I heard a little click click going on there. Is there something you want to show off,
buddy? I've got the Microtech out the front knife from Microtech. Everybody I'm showing since I got this a couple months ago is totally impressed with this knife. There's not enough bandwidth. You can't try to keep up. Ready? You can't keep up with it. Try to keep. It's gone again.
All right, do it again, but do it this time in slow motion.
Ready? I'm going slow motion. Look, even in slow motion, you can't.
That is fast.
It.
That is fast. Is it sharp?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, can you demonstrate it on the show?
I don't.
Wow. Wow.
I don't
Does it? There was something on the bottom of that. What is that? Is that like a glass break or something? What's on the bottom?
Yeah. Glass break. I'm afraid if I bring it out, the policeman will break into my office and shoot me because that's what you do with people knives coming at you.
Wow. Microtech, you know, and out the front and they have, you know, out the sides and stuff, automatic knives. So Microtech is certainly a high-tech company. It's one of the best knife companies out there. So, so guys looking to carry knives as backup weapons or just as a tool, Microtech out the front. You may want to make sure you're in a clean environment when you're carrying the out the front, a little bit more difficult to clean. And then the out the sides are probably what I would recommend for guys in uniform that are out there in the street and all kinds of environments and stuff. Great, great knives. Just to tell you a little story, I've got a bandage. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I have a bandage over my eye. So my, you know, I've got this, this blind dog. He has no eyes, right? It's a 20 pound poodle mix. And yeah, and I know what you guys, when I tell you the story, I know what you're going to think. You're thinking, well, gee, Chip, in April, you're carrying your blind dog in the woods, you slip and fall and you rip your quad tendon off your left kneecap, right? You have to have surgery, right? And you're still recovering from that. And now you've got a bandage on. Yeah, I know. Sorry, Brett. Did I tell you that my kneecap dropped inside the skin after the tendon ripped off of it? Did I tell you? Did I mention that?
Oh,
it's true. Yeah. Apparently, I didn't know that the tendon actually holds the kneecap up in position. But that's another story for another day. So my wife leaves the house. I play rough with my dog, and I get down there with my face and stuff. And next thing I know, I mean, our heads hit. And he was going after me too. And I just grabbed my head and I'm like putting pressure on it. And then I feel the blood trickling, you know, between my fingers. And I go into the kitchen sink. And I mean, there's just like, I'm bleeding like a sieve. It's just blood everywhere. I'm trying to reach down and grab the paper towels and find them in an open cabinet. But I'm dripping on the clean side of the sink. I'm dripping on the dirty side of the sink and my wife comes home. She opens up the door and she sees this blood. She goes, "Oh my gosh, what happened?" It was a mess. So my eye was swollen this morning, but I do have a bandage on. But the bandage is pretty cool. You would never know. But I went and swam a half a mile afterwards, and the thing opened up, and anyhow. So I got this is my second bandage now.
It opened up in the pool.
No, this is after the pool.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, it contained, you know, the bandage was good enough to where it contained all the blood stuff. But when I got done swimming, it wasn't clean anymore. It was all, you know.
Well, the good thing that all the urine in the pool counteracted the blood in the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
hey, I'm not going to let a little injury interfere with my cardio workout, you know. So,
sure.
Me too. So anyhow, so that's the story of what happened, just in case anybody wants to know. So, but I'm not going to let anything stop me from doing a live show, Randy. So I said, what would Randy do? That's the bar that I try to maintain on the show. So look, moving along, we have another story, RVM News of Red Voice Media News, Florida school districts. They're going to test armed drones designed to stop stop shooters within seconds. So listen to this, guys. I'm curious what you think about the technology. Of course, we know, you know, one of our best friends, John Newman, he's currently in charge of, Hillsborough County school security, and Hillsborough County schools are the third largest school district in Florida, the fifth of the seventh largest in the entire country. So this says that three school districts in Florida will participate in a pilot program testing drones designed to intervene in active shooter situations within seconds, reported by the New York Post. Now, remember the title of the article, which really grabbed my attention, was it says armed drones, right? Armed. So I'm thinking that they're armed, right? So the drones developed by Campus Guardian Angel, a Texas-based security company, they're equipped with non-lethal pepper spray pellets, alarms, two-way communication systems, and they have cameras to provide live video feeds to authorities. So it's more of a tool for like law enforcement. The drones are stored in secured charging stations on campus. They can be activated by school officials through a silent alarm or other mechanisms. Once they deploy, they're operated by FAA-certified pilots that are located in Texas. Miami-Dade County Public Schools, they're the guys, at least one of the school districts, the state's largest school district. They've already expressed an interest in the program, and they've conducted tests run at the Academer Preparatory High School, and they started doing that in like July. And then Justin Marston, the founder and CEO of Campus Guardian Angel, he said the goal is speed. In the school shooting, Most of the death happens in the first 120 seconds. So it's really about how quickly you can get there to engage the shooter. So guys, we got about 13 seconds. I'm going through our second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. A beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision, they demand perfection because selling for anything less is not an option. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions and also their M4E1 Pro, their Mod 4 handguards. They hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence. And hey, their M5 AR3 weight platform, that is also nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best, guys. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, that's AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, anonymous tips. Important stuff. That is on September the 3rd. You can sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your industry cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, and hello, Brian Spencer that found us, and Sheriff Brian Spencer retired. So thanks for watching the show. We appreciate it. You know, we left off talking about a story. And it's a, you know, it's a main topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper, but in this one, Florida school districts are testing armed drones designed to stop active shooters within seconds. And this particular one, the name of the company, I'll throw them a bone here. It is Campus Guardian Angel. The CEO, Justin Martson, said that it's all about speed. In the first 120 seconds, that's when usually most of the bad stuff happens. And you really want to quickly engage the shooter. So the drones, they also have a glass punch. They can break windows. They can create distractions during emergencies. Each fleet includes 6 drones with a purchase cost of $15,000 plus an estimated $1,000 monthly operating fee per 500 students. Depending on the student population, schools may require between 3 to 15 fleets. The system requires coordination between the company's command team, school officials, and law enforcement before engagement. The drones are not activated independently, but they follow a flight plan that's overseen by what they call a designated commander. Now, it gets better, especially in Florida. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he's allocated $557,000 in the 2025-26 state budget to fund drone demonstrations. An additional cost for purchasing and installing the technology across participating schools, that's not been determined yet. And since 2018, the Parkland High School shooting, more than 60 school shootings have been reported across the state of Florida, according to the K-12 school shooting database. So, drones responding to active shooters in schools. Captain Bartlett.
Well, I've got a couple of concerns. First, the operators are not on post, which may actually end up being a good thing. And down in the article, it says the first 2 minutes is when it's going to happen. Are they telling me that they can get these drones up and operate? Now, somebody has to hit the alarm for this to be activated. And then a drone operator not on campus is going to operate that drone. And that person operating that drone is going to find that person somewhere on that campus in 2 minutes. I just don't know. I think it's interesting that they're going to be useful. But as far as getting them up and operating quickly and stopping the threat, I'd like to see that.
Yeah. And there may be some stuff that we don't know. I love technology. I love to see this. And I don't want another active shooter, but I'd love to see this on application, you know, in a real scenario, and see how well they're able to do on this thing. Randy?
So, you know, it's inevitable that at some point they're going to have lethal drones. It is absolutely.
Well, that's why I read the story. That's why it was what I was expecting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. And I first saw the headline, but it's going to happen. Right now, I believe that there's a federal law that prohibits arming a drone with a firearm. I think that's a federal law. I'm not 100% sure. But that's going to change at some point. There's no doubt that there would be an effective use for an armed drone in certain circumstances.
I can see the day coming too. I agree. So guys, and really you stand, if you're in that kind of a situation, I mean, you're almost, I mean, you don't have, you have some stuff to lose, right? But, you know, then you start to go the pros and negatives on, you know, issuing a, you know, a drone. If it's a bona fide active shooter situation, you start to weigh in your mind the different, you know, the benefits of having, you know, an armed drone respond, and you know, there are things that can go wrong, but do they outweigh the things that could go right? You
Yeah,
know,
Chip, maybe you and I can scrounge up a demonstration of those folks.
I wish John Newman was on the show. I'd love to get his input on this. That would be interesting. So anyhow, so we will continue the coverage, but that's the latest stuff that's out there, guys. And it's just you know, it's timely because Randy Sutton just came on the show talking about, you know, the Minneapolis active you know, shooter situation that just happened moments ago. So if you guys are ready, let's cover the next one that's waiting. We've got on Police One, and I hate to cover stuff on Police One. You know, they're it looks like their source, they got New Jersey or NJ.com, but they use a lot of Associated Press articles, which I just don't like. It's too liberal. But New Jersey, thank you, Brett. We don't want to see that on our screen. New Jersey appeals court rules state promotion exam was altered unfairly after candidates took it. I hope your wife's aware of the woman you have in the background, Brett. I just hope that she's aware, because I'll call Mary Lou and I'll tell her, dude. I'll tell her. Of course, when Brett you know, figures out how to work the mute button, we'll give him extra pay.
She gave me my mute button.
She gave you your mute button. New Jersey Appeals Court has thrown out a 2019 police promotion exam ruling that the state's attempt to help minority candidates by changing the scoring method was unjustified and unfair to those who follow the test instructions. Now, this is just ridiculous. This is just crazy. This is how bad it is. You know, this is the lengths that people will go to get minorities to work for their agency. And we're talking, this article is talking about blacks and Hispanics. So the issue started when the New Jersey Civil Service Commission, they removed the last 10 questions from the sergeant's exam, and they said those questions unfairly lowered scores for blacks and Hispanic officers. So in a ruling that was issued on August the 22nd, the appellate division stated that the scoring change, it lacked evidence to support it and unfairly penalized candidates who actually followed the instructions by answering every question, because that was the instruction. And it turns out that a higher percentage of blacks and Hispanics did not follow those instructions. So let's go. The case was filed by 15 municipal police officers who took the exam, 13 of whom identified as racial minorities. They argued the Civil Service Commission's scoring change was arbitrary and that it punished candidates who actually followed the instructions, managed their time properly, and who completed the exam. In other words, they followed the instructions. And here's a quote saying, "Petitioners were wrongfully penalized for following the instructions," and that is what, unquote, a two-judge panel for the appeals court ended up writing. Now, the court noted that the commission's testing division, they found unusually high skip rates on the final 10 questions, up to 28%, especially among minority candidates. They just skipped over the questions. After dropping those questions, the commission said the scores actually improved overall and that there were more black and Hispanic candidates that ended up passing the test. And quote, "In effect, the commission took the easy road, but not the fairest way to address the problem," unquote. Now, the judges said the scoring change went against the test's own instructions, which told candidates to answer every question and to manage their time in order to finish the entire exam. Now, that decision should be made for the exam. Well, I'm sorry, that decision should be made before the exam is administered, not after the fact. And the ruling also cited a 2009 Supreme Court case, the U.S. Supreme Court, Rissey versus DiStefano. It requires race-based changes to test results that they be backed by strong evidence. The court also rejected the commission's claim that the skip questions were flawed because many people left them blank. The court ordered the commission to throw out the results and to give a new exam. The Civil Service Commission was represented by the New Jersey Office of Attorney General, and the police officers were represented by Attorney Albert Seibert. So there you have it. Captain Bartlett, you know, Brett, I remember going in the police academy, and that was back in 1983. And that's when I finally got in, because they booted me out because they wanted the colonel's son, Joe Pelkington, to get in. And then they let me back in. So they made a 21st slot for me, and I was in there with 20 others. But there were three whites, and the rest of us, or the rest of them were black. But there were two white males, me and Joe Pilkington, and there was a white female. And within a few short years, I was the only guy left out of that. And I remember when I took the spelling test in the academy, if I failed it, I was booted out of the academy. But if I was black, I could take it more than once, and they would let me take it until I passed it. That's just the way that it was in the academy. That's how bad they wanted, blacks, minorities in there. Well, so
it's not the questions in this test. It's where they were put in the test. Now, if I came to Randy, I said, Randy, Randy's the chief. I said, Randy, there's 10 questions on this test that we need to throw out because it turns out they're biased against black and Hispanics. He would say, wow, okay, that's probably a good idea. Oh, wait, maybe what I didn't mention, chief, was they're the last 10. That nullifies every bit of it, every bit of it. It wasn't the questions, which would be hard to prove that they were racially biased to start with. It's the placement of it. So on its own, if you did the numbers, the computer would show, hey, guess what? 10 of these questions were answered more properly by whites than by blacks. Oh, we have a problem. Where were they? They were the last 10. Some knucklehead decided that was truly important, and they tossed those last 10 questions, not the topic of the questions, not the essence of the question, the placement of the question. How ridiculous, how on its face ridiculous is some suit somewhere thought that was a good idea. They need to take him around back and take that test.
I agree.
Did I turn the mic off at the appropriate time?
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you turned the mic off at the appropriate time. Thank you. Okay. The FCC thanks you too.
Okay, so, yeah. I'm glad that worked.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous, Chip. Throw the whole thing out and start again. No agency's ever good at this. Tampa ran across trouble. I helped St. Pete do it one time years ago. They had a great system. We'll talk about it because that's pretty lengthy. But
wow,
it's just ridiculous.
I agree. Well, guys, stick with us. We got another commercial break coming up. We're going to be talking about Gun Learn, one of Brett's favorite topics. So stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about Gun Learn at gunlearn.com. As police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder is Dan O'Kelly. And if you have your own agency, he's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's a fantastic opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. And, any more commentary on the last topic? If not, Randy, I think we've got an update coming up about the summit. You've got something special coming up next month.
Yeah, we do. The National Law Enforcement Survival Summit will be held in Las Vegas, September 22nd through the 25th. Amazing conference. I recommend it for every police officer or retired cop in America. It is life-changing stuff, every aspect of dealing with a law enforcement career, physically, emotionally, psychologically, relationships, spiritually. Last week, something amazing happened, actually a week and a half ago now, that the TV show Cops, Morgan Langley, who is the owner of the TV show, and a very patriotic donor, are donating the money for any injured officer in America that wants to attend the Survival Summit. They will pay for the registration fee, $400, $395. They will pay for it. This is unbelievable. Now, the TV show Cops, of course, I was on that show a whole bunch of times, and they are a huge supporter of the Wounded Blue. They will actually be there at the conference. They participate. So if you're a police officer, or have been a police officer and you're dealing with PTS issues, or you've been injured in the line of duty, contact me directly, randy@thewoundedblue.org, randy@thewoundedblue.org, and I will tell you how to go about getting your free spot at this incredible conference. It's a we got somebody from the show last week that I was on. He's coming, and we're literally opening this up now for any officer who's ever been injured in the line of duty.
I love it. And guys, I have the email address, and it's easy to remember, randy@thewoundedblue.org. But I've got that up there as well, just in case you guys are looking for something to write that down with. So fantastic opportunity. Cops. I mean, there's probably no other cop in the country that's been featured on the series Cops more than Randy Sutton. I mean, everywhere he goes, people will recognize him from the series Cops. It's the craziest thing. And I remember John Newman on the show. He had a fit. He said, "I recognize you now. You're the guy from Cops," you know. So it's pretty cool. But that also benefits the Wounded Blue.
Oh,
the magic.
it's huge. It's
Yeah.
huge.
So the magic happens is happening. You guys are able to witness that, and this is what it's all about. And when people tell you that things are about relationships and stuff, this is a perfect example of that. So Randy, thanks for what you do. And I'm glad that people that are watching the show, that are listening to stuff, are reaching out and they're taking advantage of the opportunity. I'm so thankful that cops, I have a lot of respect for them because of what they're doing. If it was that easy to support cops and law enforcement, first responders, everybody would be doing it, right? But it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do these days. And I really respect people that do that. You know, kind of like Gauls too. Gauls is, from what I understand, is going to have a hand in the summit coming up as well. So I'm so happy that our title sponsor Gauls is going to be doing that too. So excellent, good stuff, good stuff. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and talk about a story that's got a video component. Rumble.com is our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have San Jose police. They fatally shoot a father who stabbed and killed his 9-year-old son.
Put the knife down. Put the knife down. Put the knife down. We don't want to hurt you. Force may be used against you. Put the knife down. Hey! Red, red, red! Put the knife down.
Got it.
Hey! Red, red, red!
Red, red, red!
Come on!
Guys, you're going to want to listen to the story. It's not going to be easy to listen to. There is a video component to this as well. But they did black out, you know, part of the video on this thing. But let's go and listen. We're in San Jose, California. So the San Jose police said they suspect that the man that officers fatally shot, that he had killed his child and called 911 in order to get it into a deadly confrontation with police on Sunday. He's identified by San Jose police as a 48-year-old from Fremont, a name Matus Dizerban, and it's a weird name, and I probably butchered it, but I can't get that any better. Just before 3:30 p.m., officers get called to Cataldi Park for a report of a stabbing. And when they get there, they find this guy. He's got a large kitchen knife, and he's hunched over a 9-year-old who appears to be bleeding. Now, police said that they tried to de-escalate the situation. The suspect, who ends up being the kid's father, refuses to follow police commands. And during the verbal exchange, the suspect abruptly stands up. He raises the knife and he charges at the officer. So two officers shoot the guy. They kill him. One officer has 4.5 years of experience. The other guy is 19. Officers, they go to the child, but the child, they don't say whether the child was male or female, but the child was deceased. And our bad guy, the father, goes to the hospital where he later dies. So we got two deaths out of this, unfortunately. And the police said that the father was, well, that the suspect was the child's father, that he was the one who called police. And police said that during the call that he stated that there was an unknown person who was stabbing his child. So he lied to police to kind of, you know, force the altercation. Captain Brett.
Okay, so what do we have? We have a call of somebody with a knife. There's a stabbing in the park. The police get there's a body on the ground. A guy's kneeling over this person prostrate on the ground with a knife in their hand. There's no de-escalation here. There is putting a round right between his running lights and turning him off like a light switch. When I saw this, I was incensed that they thought they could de-escalate by calling him sir and asking him please. How long would it take for that guy to take that knife? Let's say the kid was just barely injured. I don't know. Take that knife and cut that kid's throat. And then one officer standing out in the open, there's a tree there, could have gone to cover. Just stop it. Sometimes you need to put a bullet into the bad guy. There is no de-escalation here. There's no words. There's nothing. He's not going to listen to you. And it turns out that's true, right? Sir, please drop the knife. Sir, don't do anything. What does he do? He stands up and comes. Words don't work anyway, as we know. And who knows? I don't know if this kid, if he was dead or... I like to know the background to know why it happened, but no, given what we just heard and saw in that video, I'm going to shoot that guy. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to stare at my front sight. I'm going to focus in. I'm going to take the slack out of the trigger, and I'm going to fire one good hit right into his dome.
What it does, it shows you how law enforcement has been trained in the last number of years with the woke training policies, where the mantra is de-escalation. That word is almost a dirty word to me these days. Cops have been de-escalating for years. They've known mm-hmm. how to do it, but now this emphasis, where it's even written into laws in certain states or policies, that if you don't quote de-escalate or attempt to, and you take the deadly force shot, you can be prosecuted or you can be terminated. This is insanity. This is insanity. We are emasculating our police officers. We are taking the options away from them, and it is killing not only cops, but citizens as well. And this, I don't know if this little boy was dead or this little girl was dead before the cops got there or not. That's not clear in this video or in this report. But if this child was still alive when they were, quote, de-escalating, that is a tragedy that could have been averted.
So Randy covered, you took the words out of my mouth. You said it probably better than I would have, Randy. But yeah, we're seeing situations now where we have bleeders, right? We have victims that have been injured, cut, whatever, and you know, you've got a limited amount of time before someone bleeds out, and we all know that from our law enforcement experience. But when you delay your options because you're dealing with a bad guy that doesn't want to stop, or he doesn't want to comply, and like Brett said, you've got a guy that's a no person, you've got a victim bleeding out, and I don't know if we could have saved the child or not, but we may never know. But at least, you know, if the bad guy wouldn't have stood up with the knife, I have a feeling this would have gone on for quite a while, to be honest with you. And this is not the first time. We've seen other ones where we've just had victims that have been stabbed and they have been negotiating with a bad guy to try to get into the house to get to the victim. And it just takes for friggin' ever. And it is so frustrating to watch this. And you're right. The pendulum has swung, and we have been de-escalating for years. When I came on in 83, we were already de-escalating, but we didn't have a name for it yet. It was just part of doing good old-fashioned police work. And now they put a title on it, and they put it in statutes and stuff. I read another use of force story, and I know we're coming up, you know, towards the end of the show, but I just read one. And, you know, these inspector general offices are saying, well, we're going to, you know, we're not going to fault the officer. We're not going to charge him for not using de-escalation techniques because he technically didn't really necessarily have time to, and he went straight to lethal and stuff. Yeah, you know, no kidding, you know. But that is a consideration now on whether they're clearing cops or not. And that scares me. Final words, Randy?
It should scare you. It should scare every cop in America that they are forcing officers to take the necessary time. They're using up that time, which could save a life. They're frightening our police officers into not making the decisions in timely manner because of politics.
Well, guys, another great show. Randy Sutton, The Wounded Blue, Captain Brett Bartlett, Exumber Defense Solutions. Hey, guys, a shout-out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, MyMedicare.life, SafeWeb Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. And we appreciate everybody, so thanks so much for watching the show. We'll look for you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.